This is A New Angle, a show about cool people doing awesome things in and around Montana. I'm your host, Justin Angle. This show is supported by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and the University of Montana College of Business. Hey folks, welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. Today is our April edition of Incentives and Instincts, a recurring series in which I speak with economist and friend Bryce Ward about some of the broader challenges facing our society. Bryce, thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, as always.
So you and I have talked a lot about the media environment on this program, and since it's Pledge Week here at Montana Public Radio, we wanted to explore the news gathering and reporting process at MTPR. To help us, we've invited MTPR News Director Corin Cates Carney to join us today. Corin, welcome.
Howdy. Thanks for having me on.
So before we get into your work, tell us, where did you grow up and what did your parents do?
Sure. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Tacoma, the Lincoln District. And my folks, my mom was working with a nonprofit that was kind of focused on kind of building community between and with people with and without different intellectual disabilities. And my dad was a family doc who, after running a small practice, went to a community college and taught biology and human anatomy and physiology.
So summarize how you made your way into journalism.
Yeah, I came out to Montana with very little direction, I think is a story that a lot of college kids start with. That was where I was at. And eventually, I think my junior year, maybe sophomore year, got into the J school and really got interested in radio.
And that led to an internship with Morning Edition?
Yeah.
And that seems like a pretty big position to get into right out of school.
Yeah, I mean, it was my second time applying for that job. So like, if you don't get it once, keep at it.
Persistence.
I was down in Culver City, so LA area, and sat in on their pitch meetings, had research packets for the Morning Edition host, kind of, you know, whatever needed to be done for them. I was kind of just there to help.
Awesome. And then you came back to Missoula to be at MTPR.
Yeah. And, as soon as I went down there, knew I wanted to eventually come back.
Okay.
And so they were eventually hiring for the Flathead Valley position. And that opened up and applied and got it.
Very good. And how long have you been news director now?
4 years. It was, I think, January or February of 2020.
Awesome. That's got to be an odd time to take on a job which we can come back to.
Yeah, it was definitely a trial by fire. A fascinating time to be in the news business and trying to figure out how to tell important stories in new ways. And I mean, the amount of time I remember recording in my bedroom closet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a complicated time.
Amazing. So what does a news director do? What is your job?
It's a lot of traffic control, you know, from, getting pitches from the reporters on the MTPR team, signing stories, editing those stories, either the spots we get for you here in our newscasts or the feature stories that end up on air. It's helping decide, how are we going to best serve the listener with, the limited time that we have to tell a story, and then, where do we go and who do we assign to tell that story?
I'd love to just have you explain the methods of journalism a little bit. I mean, Bryce, economist, trained in using large data sets. My training is in experiments, social psychology experiments. Talk about the method of journalism. What is your method to arriving at something you think is the closest you can get to truth?
There's a lot of ground truthing or like background reporting. Yeah. So for every voice you hear on air in a story, there's probably some voices we talk to that you don't hear, just to kind of establish, all right, is the topic or the question we started with have a premise that is grounded? Like, we're not just, running with an idea that we're going to spend a bunch of time on and then later, like, the underlying premise was wrong.
Okay.
So reporters will kind of do some ground truth reporting. All right, there's something here. And then who are the people who are kind of either most impacted by this? So they're like we've done a lot of reporting on the unwinding of Medicaid expansion. It's, making sure our premise is sound and then finding people who can speak to it directly being impacted. They can take that anecdote and broaden it out and have the either data or kind of industry knowledge to know that, this is happening on a wider scale, which kind of says, like, when we bring it to our audience, like, this is a big deal.
Sure. And Bryce, in your regular source for a lot of this reporting, talk about your experience of interfacing with MTPR and its journalists versus other outlets and sort of how you Do you make decisions about how you frame your comments or the questions that you're getting asked? Do they vary from outlet to outlet?
Generally, when I get called by a reporter, I just say, look, I'm here to just help you understand, right? That's my main job. And whether they use anything I say, I don't care. In terms of how does it differ by outlet, medium matters, right? So if you're on television, you have to give them a 10-second soundbite.
Yeah.
Right? And so with television reporters, what I learned was I would say, okay, well, we're just going to talk. And then you take a minute and you tell me what 10 seconds you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, oh, I want you to say something about that. And then I will pause and I will come up with the concise sentence that you can use on a television broadcast. Because as people who listen to this know, I don't tend to speak in sentences, right? I speak in essays, not even paragraphs. So with the radio is a little bit of the same thing. I will offer that. Typically, they don't take me up on it as much, you know, in part because they can edit me just with sound. They don't have to get my face along with it saying anything. I think that's probably it. And with, you know, with print journalists, yeah, I just kind of talk and then they'll pick something out and then I'll read it in the newspaper and be like, ugh. We should have done that process. I should do that process with everybody. Like, let me like actually edit this. Like, you know, when I write, I edit, right? This doesn't come out. That's why I like the podcast, is I don't have to edit it. I just like speak and whatever. We just live with whatever it is. But
I mean, that is a tricky position that you're in. Often you're being quoted as an expert. You described sort of a service disposition. You want to help the reporter and hopefully the audience that reporter is accessing to understand an issue. But a lot of the issues that you study and communicate on are controversial in their nature. And so, yeah, like having the right quote in the right context. I mean, this is something, Corin, that you probably have to make decisions about all the time. Like, are we misquoting this person? Are we adequately representing their views? Are we providing the listener, the reader, with enough context to make the right decisions around this piece of information and its value?
Kind of going back to the previous point of, I mean, we will talk to multiple experts. You might not all hear them in that one story because different experts may have different views. Like, experts can disagree on things. And so that was part of our background reporting too. And yeah, we want to be careful of, in our editing process, we always listen to a story live before, you know, broadcasting it.
Okay.
Like, it's part of the editing process. And so we'll hear it of like, did that, you know, 10 seconds you're talking about accomplish what we needed it to? Is it a fair representation of it? Like, we want sound in the story, but having sound that doesn't help provide clarity doesn't provide much.
We'll be back to my conversation with Bryce Ward and Corin Cates-Carney after this short break. A New Angle is supported by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and UM's College of Business. Access to capital, broadband, and education are three ingredients any community needs for success.
Hi, this is Steve Albini, and you're listening to A New Angle.
Welcome back to A New Angle. I'm here with Bryce Ward and Corin Cates-Carney chatting about MTPR's news reporting process. And what is your process for, like, knowing when you have enough proof or evidence to make a claim in a story?
That helps in the very beginning of a reporting process to have, like, what is your clear driving question? And then when you have that answered to the point where you can satisfy the question, then good to stop, because you can always add more. I think that sometimes listeners will ask, you know, why didn't you get to this? Or why didn't you get to that? And, you know, over the course of many stories, we will, you know, explain the full process of something. But stories often start with a very specific question, because if you don't have very specific questions, you're not going to get a good answer.
Particularly given the time constraint.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are the lengths of your stories that you're creating?
Yeah. So in the newscast, those are 40 to 60 seconds. I mean, they might get a little bit longer, but that's not much time. And then in a feature, those will be generally 4 minutes. Sometimes we'll go into a longer segment if it really is deemed necessary, and that'll be 7. Yeah, it has to be precise and experts. That's why we only use maybe 10 seconds of that, because we make the point, we move on. we're trying to, you know, work within our time constraints. And, you know, listeners are listening to us as they wash their dishes, drive their kids to school, and we might only have 5 minutes of their attention. So that's kind of the media we're working with.
Can you also situate MTPR in kind of the media landscape? You mentioned a moment ago public service journalism. Where does MTPR sit relative to other sources of news available in this kind of Montana ecosystem?
I think more about the listeners in our region more than the other outlets.
Yeah.
And that we are serving the listener. And I think that other media outlets are doing great work. And if we can have them on, you know, our air to help share their cool reporting, like, I don't feel really competitive. I mean, if we are all providing good news, we are all serving the audience, I think that's our job. Like, our job isn't to make tons of money. Our job is to inform the public. It's fun to get a scoop on MTPR. You see reporters at other news outlets get a scoop, and you're like, dang, that would have been nice for us to have, but like, good on them. And, you know, we bring other reporters on, like we've had with the Lee Enterprise Papers or Montana Free Press. Like, we'll invite them on air because they got a good story. We didn't get it, but in order to serve our listeners with that good information, you know, come on.
Whether it's explicit or not, some form of competition to get to a story and get it out fast. How do you balance that need for speed with the need for accuracy and completeness?
An editor once told me, was it more important to be on time or to be right? And it's both. You will always issue corrections and we'll be public about that. I mean, if there is an error, please tell us. We want the correct information. And in our, you know, effort to get people the most important information as soon as possible that they can use, if we make a mistake, then let us know and we'll correct it.
Yeah. Are you willing to share any stories of hard calls you had to make?
Maybe a broad example of that that's relevant this year is election calls.
Yeah.
Different outlets, depending on who is winning a race, will say they won or they didn't win. And we rely on the Associated Press because they are experts at that. We are not. And so there is a rush among some outlets to be the first to call a race. Like, you call it and like, that's a big deal. Like, people are going to pay attention to that. You get eyes. We will not do that until the Associated Press calls it. Like, we do not make that call. Someone else makes that call. We want to break it as soon as we can, but we got to be patient until the kind of the information supports it.
What's your lane and how does it differ from, you know, essentially you've got the TV people, you've got essentially the Lee Enterprise Papers, but I guess a couple of other ones, and, you know, the new nonprofit papers.
I think we are a regional newsroom. We have reporters across the state working in one newsroom. We share content with Yellowstone Public Radio to try to function sometimes like as like a, you know, a statewide network. And I think that not many other newsrooms have that with our kind of public service journalism focus in mind.
Does the fact that your listeners differ from their eyeballs or their ears, does that shape how you guys approach stuff? Or are you just kind of, you're kind of imagine your listener? Are you trying to just imagine, is that person basically the average Montanan? Or is there some difference between what you imagine your listener to be and the average Montanan? And does that then shape what you cover?
Anyone who can turn on the radio is who I would want to be our listener. And so, like, our listeners, I think, that there is data to suggest, like, they might, you know, be more, I think, college educated is one, but we don't want to just speak to college educated people. Like, we want to speak to everyone who turns on the radio. So I think, when I think of we are serving the listener, is that also means the potential listener. And so, I mean, we also have to be like more, trying to engage them to turn on the radio, or not just turn on the radio, but stream us online or podcasts or however people can listen now.
And then within that, how do you then make choices about the makeup of your content? What local stories to prioritize? What is the balance of local, regional, national? How are you making decisions about the overall experience for the listener?
In any story we tell, someone listening has to find it relevant to them. And so we won't do like local city government coverage very often, or we won't do, hey, this new business is opening up, because why would someone maybe listening in Libby care about that? So if we're telling a story in Missoula, it would have to be kind of regional interest. And that's kind of how we pursue it or make news decisions. Like, all right, there might be something going on in this place, but it is either compelling enough or of interest to a regional audience that, you know, across Western Montana into Central Montana, we share it with Yellowstone Public Radio. You know, how is this going to be of interest to a very broad section of Montanans?
And how about that balance between you know, shorter segments and longer segments and features? Like, how do you kind of make decisions as to the types of stories that take those different forms?
Yeah, I think it depends on how complicated that initial question was. Like, there is, sometimes there's just breaking news. Some pieces of information that are important, you don't need 5 minutes on. Like, really, if I tell you in 40 seconds that, hey, if you're on like X side of the Flathead Lake where there's a fire, there's evacuation notices and the law enforcement's telling you to get out, you don't want me to spend 5 minutes on
that. No, people got to know that fast.
Yeah. And so if it's, you know, that makes sense as a spot, or if it's, hey, there's a, using the Flathead Lake again, if there's like a complicated debate about the water levels and how those are being drawn down, like that might take more than 40 seconds. So it's kind of the starting point of, there's something of interest here. What's the question we're going to answer? And then how much time does that question need?
Yeah. And then are you also making choices as news director about the national segments you'll run? Like you do this with, you know, Morning Edition or whatever, you'll bring in some of the national coverage and then sprinkle in local reporting in the midst of it. And how do you kind of curate that interface with some of the national broadcast that you run?
Yeah. So this would be behind the scenes of how like the NPR, our partnership with them works.
Yes.
And so we subscribe to their network. So I do not have editorial decisions about, you know, the types of stories they are running or things like that. We buy their programs like Morning Edition or All Things Considered that you'll hear. And then we plug our segments into these holes. You'll notice it's always around like 7:44 or 8:44 in the morning. And like in the same thing of like the newscast hits very hard time posts. There's a clock we work within on NPR that we buy basically, that we are not in editorial control over, but you know, we follow some of the same like editorial best practices.
And are there instances where like you will preempt that national content because something local is happening that you're covering? I know the inverse happens somewhat frequently if there's something national that preempts local content, but does the inverse ever happen?
Yeah, every time you're hearing local news, if we don't air that, there would be national news. There's a few times we would air, like every time we hear the big Y, that always airs in the same segment and it covers up the same interview block on NPR.
Or
we recently started airing National Native News during All Things Considered, and that covers up a segment of NPR. So we do have some flexibility. It's usually in the back half NPR broadcast because the bigger headlines are in the front of the hour, which we don't want to cover up.
Yeah, so Corin, you've been in public media since you graduated journalism school. I would assume you've had opportunities to maybe expand outside of that. What is it about public media that's special to you?
I think it is two things about it. One is the optimistic business model of, we are going to provide news and information and hope that it is of use enough that people are going to choose to support that. I like that business model. We don't have to rely on political advertisements during campaign season or other, commercial breaks. It's just, we are betting on the value of good reporting and good journalism. And I think that drives, you know, our mission. And I think I like that business model. So that's part of it. And then part of that is, you know, most of that time in public radio, I've pretty much been at Montana Public Radio. And I think, part of that is that I enjoy the model and I enjoy the place where those stories are told. I think one thing that public radio does better than most other journalistic mediums is rooting a story in a place. And I think place and storytelling become important there. And those are things that I personally value. And so I value this place and I value the type of journalism. And so I think that kind of, those meld well together.
Yeah, and you're speaking about some values that have been under pressure, intense pressure over the last however many years. The decline in local reporting, the consolidation of news reporting on so many dimensions, newspapers in particular. I mean, do you see public media as a bit of a bulwark against some of those industrial forces that are producing consolidation?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of money spending a lot of time trying to influence people. And I think when we can hold our banner up and say we are independent from that, I think that gives us a lot of credibility. And I think people are looking around of like, who can I trust? And by being listener supported, by being, you know, transparent where our funding comes from, I think that, you know, gives some people some reassurance in that.
We'll be back to my conversation with Bryce Ward and Corin Cates Carney after this short break. A New Angle is supported by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and UM's College of Business. Access to capital, broadband, and education are three ingredients any community needs for success.
This is Jeff Meese, media technician at the College of Business, and you're listening to A New Angle.
Welcome back to A New Angle. I'm here with Bryce Ward and Corin Cates Carney chatting about MTPR's news reporting process.
I saw this study recently, and it found that for a headline of average length, every negative word increases click-through by 3%.
Wow.
It's very clear that that click pressure drives online media, right? You know, the negative framing of everything is just an absolute clear trend in digital media. And it's certainly been true that if it bleeds, it leads, you know, local news forever. But yeah, how do you try and balance that human desire for negative with maybe the adverse consequences of convincing everybody that the world is negative, more negative than it maybe is?
I think there's a lot of news fatigue out there. And I think that if it bleeds, it leads, especially when there is so much bad news or hard news, maybe not bad news, but it's just hard to listen to. I think people turn the radio off or they'll stop reading the paper. And so if you have that kind of, you know, you're trying to buy, you know, maybe listeners or eyeballs with that negativity, I think eventually people are going to get so bummed out that they're going to stop. And so I think you have to be careful in how you're explaining that news. And it might be hard, but try to be delicate in the phrasing of it and not just what's going to grab attention. I think we also try to balance our overall content. We try to balance our overall reporting so that we're not just focusing on that. One of our projects, The Big Why, was to try to provide something that was still informative, but yeah, a little bit more lighthearted. So that, yeah, we're going to have to tell you some hard stories sometimes, but we also are going to give you some other programs that are still informative, still want to answer your questions, but the tone is very different. It's much more lighthearted, still if they deal with serious topics. I don't think that, I think people get bummed out and like stop being a consumer of information if we're always negative, and that's not good in the long term.
Is there research on what leads people that are listeners to give or even non-listeners to give? Is that really like I'm supporting the high-minded mission, right? Cause, you know, that's what I would like to believe, is that people are interested in public media because I want that model to be the one that you described. Mm-hmm. I think it's a better model, right? It's not about immediate click-through and attention. It's about I know that I, as a person in the community, need there to be people like you in the community. And I just want to know that you're there, whether I'm listening or not.
I think from my job as the news director is to think about, you know, how are we informing people? And that's not just what's going to get inform them today of like the most serious news. It's how are we going to inform people tomorrow and a week from now or a month from now. And that includes what's going to keep them coming back, not so that we can just get eyeballs, but to inform them. And so if we're always, you know, what's going to get the, like the most immediate impact today, that might not be the immediate impact a year from now.
You know, given some of these dynamics we've talked about, I mean, the success of outlets like Montana Free Press and Daily Montana and some of these other, you know, the Pulp here in Missoula and other local, hyper-local nonprofit outlets, I mean, does that give you hope in this model and its ability to sort of persist in this polarized and in consolidating environment?
I'd be hesitant to, you know, compare or weigh in on other people's business models. Because, you know, the business model is not my expertise. Like, sure. I know what MTPR does.
Which well, is actually, let's pause for a moment and speak to, like, that's a really important thing, that the business model is not your expertise.
Right.
Your expertise is news and making sure you have a good, sound process for bringing people the news they need, right?
And so what I see, when you ask that question of like what other outlets, like I am encouraged by seeing other journalists make the attempt and to go for it and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like that isn't very encouraging to me. So in that aspect, it is.
Sure.
The business model comparison or what they're doing, like I have the best of luck to anyone who's pursuing journalism in Montana. Like we have some of these other organizations on air to talk about the reporting. And then, you know, the comparison of business models. Yeah, I'm going to stay in my lane on that one.
And I think that's good. right? Like the more attention you're paying to the business model in your seed, the worse it is for the product or the worse it is for the public. I mean, I want you thinking about, you know, the news we all need to hear and if that's accurate.
The high-minded perception of journalism, right? Which is I'm here to collect information and disseminate information so that people have information.
Yeah.
As opposed to I'm here to make money so that I can keep collecting this information regardless of what that making money means that I have to produce and sell. And, you know, when it comes to news, I want to know if there is corruption in Helena. I want to know if the legislature is passing bills that are not in my interest or are in my interest. Those are just knowledge questions, right? Like, you know, somebody has to go out and figure out, oh, what's happening or what's going on, and then collect the information. Whether I consume it today, tomorrow, or next week, I just need that the information gets injected into the system somehow.
I still have to pay attention to that in a way of like, you know, when I say we are here to serve the listener, but the listener and where they are changes. So it can't just be on the, you know, traditional broadcast. It's, you know, in podcasting, it's online, it's in social media. And so we do have to sort of think about that a little bit in the newsroom, but it's less of the, all right, we need to write a story that gets lots of kicks. So those funders give us the money. It's, you know, reaching the audience wherever they are with the hope of, hey, you find this valuable and you'll support us in turn.
And so you've mentioned the newsroom a couple of times. And so in our remaining moments, Corin, I'd just like you to describe the structure of that newsroom. Who are the players? I mean, you know, listeners hear these voices on the air all the time. But yeah, just describe your team and how it's constructed.
Here in Missoula, there is Austin Amistoy. You'll hear him on Morning Edition. Edward O'Brien is here. He's kind of a general assignment reporter for us. You'll hear him doing a lot of weather reports or fire coverage. Ellis Julin, she's been covering some of the Rocky Mountain Front. And we're also, she's doing a lot more kind of environmental and climate coverage for us because that's a, you know, an important issue. Aaron Bolton, he's based up in the Flathead Valley and, you know, covering that region along with healthcare. Shaley Rager is in the State House covering, you know, politics, policy, anything going on in the legislature. John Hooks, he's in Butte covering, you know, environmental issues there and kind of anything going on in southwest Montana. And then Nick Mott, he's over in Livingston right now, and he is kind of working kind of like narrative projects for us, and helps edit and produce The Big Why. He's the main editor on that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of our strategy is having people spread out across western Montana because that's where our listeners are. And it's, you know, a lot easier to have a reporter embedded in the community they cover than sending them out there. That's like, I feel like one of the big things that people rail against, you know, larger media outlets that fly people in and then they come in and having that, you know, embedded reporter in an area, they know what the local issues are. They, you know, make the sources there. And I think that's a really important part of what our newsroom offers is that we're going to give you regional news and we have reporters based regionally.
Corin, thanks for coming in here today. It's fascinating and really important to learn about how you go about making decisions in the newsroom, how you've constructed your team, how you approach the audience and all those things to make Montana Public Radio such an important part of the news landscape here in Western Montana. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to A New Angle. We really appreciate it. And we're coming to you from Studio 49. Generous gift from UM alums Michelle and Warren Hansen. A New Angle is presented by First Security Bank, Blackfoot Communications, and the University of Montana College of Business. With additional support from Consolidated Electrical Distributors, Drum Coffee, and Montana Public Radio. Keely Larson is our producer. Maddie Jordan is our production assistant. VTO, Jeff Ament, and John Wicks made our music. And Jeff Meese is our master of all things sound. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.